Genesis, please, chapter 22. Verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. I wonder what God told him about the place. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went, both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him upon the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out the knife, his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. He said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mouth of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called Abraham out of the heaven the second time, and said, By myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hath not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned. I trust that God will bless the reading of his word with the few thoughts I have upon it. Now, I don't want to take this up prophetically of the Lord Jesus. That can be taken that way and is taken that way. But I just want to take it up very practically, as it really was. The greatest test of a man's life. Because this has the potential, and I hope I can get this across the way I feel it, this has the potential to be Abraham's finest hour, or Abraham's worst hour. You got that? It will either be what separates Abraham and he rises to the top, or he sinks to the bottom. One of the two. I want to say this reverently, but I want to say it clearly. God doesn't play games. Sometimes I feel we play at Christianity. It's like a game. There's some kind of challenge we get out of it. God's not playing here. This is for real. He is going to test a man. To prove a man. That's the word. To prove Abraham. And whenever anything is tested to be proved, it has the potential of turning solid gold. Or it has the potential for absolute dross. God tests our lives. Faith is always put to the test. It must be tested. So I want to look at it as God's test of a man. One of the first things I noticed in this was that tells you what kind of a man we're dealing with now. It must have come to a shock to him. I don't know any other way to explain it. But he heard a voice. And he knew it to be the voice of God. And God even says that at the end. Because thou hast obeyed my voice. So I would take it there was an evening. It was in the evening that Abraham heard a voice. He could have pretended, I don't know this voice. He could have done what his forefather did, Adam. I heard a voice, Adam says, and I hid. What does Abraham do? He rises up early in the morning to obey that voice. His blood must have ran cold. Remember, Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees. He left idolatry. He left sacrificing of children. That's all in the past now. A repulsive thing. Then he hears the voice of God. Take thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest. What a test. What a test. Maybe if it were you and I, we wouldn't sleep that night. And we'd have a good excuse for sleeping in the morning. And dilly-dallying around all day. But it says of Abraham, he rose up early in the morning. To go. To obey. What a man. What a test. Then it says, on the third day he saw the place. I got to ask myself, how did he know the place? He saw the place afar off. How did he know that was the place? Far off. Well, continue reading and it tells us how he knew. The place that God had told him of. So obviously, God described the place. He gave Abraham a vivid enough description of the place so that when he saw the place, he could recognize the place. This is just a little application. But do you know the place? Did God ever describe for you the place where He wants you? I feel we have come so far in church history today that our greatest test is going to be a test in the place. The place of His name is where we're facing our greatest test today. Are you there? Have you set your face like Abraham to find the place that God described? And remember, Abraham is going to this place only because God told him to. That's the only reason he's going. And he's just looking for one certain place. And the place he's looking for must fit the description that God told him. And when he sees it, he recognizes it. It's just like what God said. And he comes to the place. Now you notice not everybody went to the place. The young men stayed back. Not everybody is going to be tested the same way. But Abraham's going to be tested. So he goes to the place. In this place, you follow the life of Abraham. In this place, he will be tested like never before. Now, Abraham had heard from God before, and he had obeyed before. The Lord said, "Come out from thy people," and he came out, not knowing whither he went. He came out, and he followed the voice of God, and he obeyed. But this is so different, this one is. This isn't just Abraham leading his family out of idolatry. This is Abraham facing what not a one of us would want to face. I don't know what you brethren think of this, but that's a hard thing that God asked. And I say that reverently. That's the hardest thing that God asked. Take thy son. Come on, would you offer your son on the altar? Could you find the strength to take the knife? God's not playing and Abraham's not playing. And he takes the journey. 3 days. You notice, I was noticing just 10 chapters later, there's another man, a grandson of this man called Jacob, that God calls. And he asks him to obey. And he says, "Get back to Bethel. Get back to the land." You remember what happened with that man? He was afraid to go. Oh, he started out, but he was afraid to go. And he adds his 2 cents to the whole picture, and he starts sending gifts to his brother Esau. One gift to follow, the next gift to follow, soften up the ground. And then the night before, he wrestles with the thing all night. All night he's wrestling. No wrestling with this man. He rose up in the morning and he went. No arguments with God. No gifts to appease him. He's just simply going to obey. No details given. Maybe you would think that on the first day, God will explain something to him. Not another word. And on the second day, not a word, no voice. And on the third day, no voice. Silence. Maybe, dear believer, some of you have been called to go through something that you consider a great test in your life, and perhaps it is. And the heavens are like brass. You're not getting any answers.
And God has arranged the circumstances that are totally beyond your control. And you cry to God and there is no answer. What do? Stop? Go back? Give up? Or just keep moving in fellowship with God? I admire some of the older believers here and elsewhere. And you see them at a conference or in a meeting, and they're sitting there as if all is cheerful and rosy. And if you knew their story, it would break your heart. And they just keep soldiering on. That's Abraham. I think of these 3 days that God gave Abraham. He gives them 3 days. And not a word. But I see the resolve of Abraham. By the time he gets there, he's probably offered Isaac 1,000 times in his mind just exactly how he's going to do it and how he's going to obey God. So that by the time he gets there, his resolve is set. He's decided this. I can live my life, if must be, without it, Isaac. But I can't live without my God. I must have God. Therefore, I must obey God. You see, his choice was very simple. It's either trust and obey or refuse and rebel. He's heard from God. If he refuses and rebels, he may never hear the voice of God again. His life for God will be over. What will he do? The real question is, what will you do? What will I do? Yes, we can sing the little chorus. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But would we trust and obey? Would we? You say, well, it's hard. It's so hard when you can't see. Abraham couldn't see. There was no explanation given. God did not explain himself to this man. You and I have an advantage reading this centuries later that Abraham did not have. He's alone with this. And all he has is, take now thy son and offer him. That's a hard test. But Abraham goes. In the fact that God gave no explanation, it must have opened up in Abraham's mind. I can almost see it happening, can't you? Maybe he's looking for an explanation. Maybe he's trying to reason this thing out in his mind. And you know what that's like when you're trying to... There's other voices that come in. Can't you hear the old tempter saying, "Has God said?" That's his favorite line, you know. That was his first line. That's the line he's still using today. Has God said? And so he gets you to doubt the voice of God. We're not told that he did that to Abraham. But Satan is the father of lies. He's the enemy of God and the enemy of Christ. He's not going to lose an opportunity. And he won't lose it with you. And he won't lose it with me. And I can just hear that old twisted serpent saying, "Has God said? God doth know. In the day that you offer your son, he will surely die." Just twist it a little bit. It's over. All the promises of God gone.
Yeah, but you and I have Hebrews chapter 11, don't we? So we know the end of the story. There's a word that Brother Richards used today that's found in Hebrews chapter 11 concerning this man Abraham. Here's what it says. And I would take it that this took place somewhere in those 3 days. Verse 17 of chapter 11 says, he accounted that God would raise him from the dead. You know what that word means? It's not really accounting. It's the same word our brother took up this morning when he says he reckoned. He reasoned it out. If God has said that in Isaac shall all my seed be blessed, and now God has said, take thy son, thine only Isaac, whom thou lovest, and offer him on one of the mountains that I will tell thee of, therefore God must raise him from the dead. He must. I must slay him, but God must raise him. And with that confidence, he moves to Mount Moriah. What a thing. What a test. What a man. I'm thinking of him building the altar. I'm not going to go into all the details, just some things about this test. I'm thinking of him building the altar and setting everything in place and laying the wood in order and taking the knife and his heart beating. And he's not wondering, when is God going to stop me? See, you and I know the story. He didn't know the story. He had no inkling, no clue that God was going to stop him. He fully intended to carry out the command. And he lays his son on the altar. And he reaches his hand. And he stretches forth his hand and he takes the knife and he goes to slay his son. And then he hears from God. Only then. The intent was there. As far as God was concerned, he slayed his son. It's not even a word. He slew his son. He carried it out. And God stops him. And he says, now I know. You say, well, didn't God know before? No. No, no. That's not the kind of knowledge this is. This is God knowing by our actions. God giving us the choice to obey or not to obey. And stepping back and allowing us to make the choice. What will Abraham do? Now God says, I know what he'll do. He fully intended, and had I not stopped him, he would have slain his son. And Hebrews tells us Abraham received his son in a figure from the dead. He carried it out. What a thing that Abraham does. Now I know. So I wonder, have you found the secret to this story? It's not just a story. Do you really know what this is all about? Did God really want Isaac? Is that the burnt offering that God wanted? Was he really looking for the blood of Isaac? What was God after? The same thing he's after today with all these young people. And all us older people. God didn't want Isaac. He wanted Abraham. He wanted Abraham's heart. And he wanted to know, do I have this man's heart?
Does Abraham love me with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his mind and with all his self? Does he love me or does he love Isaac? If Abraham has to make a choice between his son or his God, what will Abraham do? That's what God wants to know. Does Abraham love me? Do I have Abraham's heart? Because if I have Abraham's heart, I have his son. I have his money. I have all that he owns if I have this man's heart. What a test. Young people, does God have your heart? He doesn't want your money. He doesn't want your sacrifice. I agree with my brother. People get on Facebook and brag about the sacrifices they're making. God's not wanting your sacrifice. He's had a sacrifice that has satisfied him forever. You can't compete with it. He's fully satisfied in his own son. But what he wants is your heart. What he wants is my heart. And if he gets my heart, he's got everything that's near and dear to me. And if he gets your heart, he gets your life. He gets it all. That's the secret of Mount Moriah. That's what this is all about. God getting a man's heart. And Abraham passes the test with flying colors. Then God speaks and he stops the knife. And you know how he takes the ram caught in the thicket. I'm not going into that. You know the story. But then it says God speaks a second time. Listen to what he says. Because thou hast done this thing. This thing. What a thing. What a thing he did. We're still talking about this centuries later. One of the most tremendous things that ever man did. What did he do? What was the thing he did? This was a Sunday school or a young people's. I'd ask some of you, what is the thing? Put it in one word. What is the thing that Abraham did? What is the thing that God is looking for? He obeyed. He obeyed God. Will a man obey God no matter what the cost? I heard one sister saying to another sister one day, and I had to butt in. It was none of my business, but I just couldn't let it go. She was so wrong. She said, you don't have to obey if you don't understand. I don't really even know what they were talking about. I was behind them. And I heard her say that, and I said, excuse me? Where did you get that? Oh, God always explains himself. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. Nor does he have to. Does the clay say to the potter, why hast thou made me so? No, no. God owes us no explanation. But in grace and love, he often explains himself. But he never explained himself to Abraham. He just expected obedience. And God says of him, because thou hast done this thing. I'm not making it up and applying it to obeying, because when the last verse that we read, listen to what it says. And in thy seed shall all, verse 18, nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. That's it. This thing was simple obedience. Did I say simple? Simple obedience? I was telling them at Bridgewater Conference in a gospel meeting. I think it was gospel. There was a young Hindu boy, came out to gospel meetings, university student, and then he stopped coming to the gospel meetings. And I knew he was troubled, and others that were with him knew he was troubled and wanting to be saved. And finally, after a few days, he sent me an email, and he says, I won't be saved. Your God asked too much. But he never showed up for class for 2 weeks. My son was in his classes. Never showed up for 2 weeks. And then one day he came bounding into class all smiles. And he says, I did it. I'm saved. Started corresponding again by email. And he says, he told me, he said, I sized it up like this. If I get saved, I can never go back to India. If I get saved, my family has the right to kill me. If I get saved, it's all for Christ or nothing. This is before he's even saved now. He sized it up. If I get saved, it's everything. It's my life on the altar. It's everything. God gets my heart. He gets my life. Gets it all. Would to God we understood that. And he did get saved. And he never went back to India. He's never seen his family since. What a cost. Because thou hast done this day, he obeyed my voice. Just take a look. Go ahead. I won't mind you turning. You don't have to look at me right now. Just look around this audience. You know why we're here today? Because he did this thing. Because Abraham did this. All nations of the earth are blessed. There was so much in the balance that Abraham knew nothing about. Calvary was in the balance. Yes, I know. It was always in the plan of God that there would be a Calvary. But what God is saying here, that through this man's obedience, all nations of the earth would be blessed. We come in that umbrella. We have been blessed because this man did this thing. Here's my point in telling you this. You don't know, young believer. You do not know. What you think is just an insignificant little act of obeying could be the greatest blessing to somebody else. By you just simply doing this thing and obeying the voice of God. May God give us hearts that we willingly offer, that we gladly give, that we're determined in our lives and in our souls, whatever he says, I'll do. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. I will obey thy voice.